20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the game week edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. And I'm joined this evening, afternoon, morning, whenever you're listening, by the one and only Ross Uglum. Ross, it is officially game week. It is officially Vikings week. And for someone of your stature up in the Northland, this is a little bit bigger than some other weeks, especially starting out week one. First of all, what's your confidence level looking like? How are you feeling going into this week? Just ready to kind of, you know, I guess, fend off the swarms of Vikings fans who don't really have a history of their team being bad yet this year. So the hate coming from them is probably going to be a little bit more powerful than usual. How are you handling this said trash talking?
Yeah, I mean, always tough when you open the season at their place, you know. I guess I'm not really familiar with the line. Haven't checked that out. I would assume it's got to be pretty close to a pick, just with Green Bay being the better team but not playing in Minnesota. Okay, yeah, -1.5, Green Bay favored. Some places you have to get it to -2, but I mean, it's basically a coin flip. And, you know, if it's going to be a season split, oftentimes it's, you know, at your place and at their place. So the idea that 0-1 is possible is very real, you know? So you asked for a confidence meter, I'm like a 4. I don't think that changes, you know, my confidence meter for the season very much, but specific to this game, yeah, that's about where I'm at.
Right, and there's so many storylines going into this game. I mean, you have the new young Packers offense. What's that going to look like? You have the new, you know, talented Packers defense. What's that going to look like? And then on the Viking side of the ball, you have, you know, brand new coaching staff, and you have a lot of change that's, you know, happened in Minnesota over the last, you know, 6 months. So I think it's hard to really get a grasp on either of these teams right now and what they're going to look like. And I think ultimately what it'll come down to is what it always comes down to throughout the course of a 17-week season, and that's quarterback play. And, you know, Kirk Cousins in himself, you know, I had a thought about Kirk Cousins today, Ross, and it was basically, you know, if you threw everything about every single quarterback into a mixing bowl and you mixed it all together and you put that in the oven and baked it, you pretty much have Kirk Cousins. Like, he is the average of everybody. Like, he's not great at anything. He's not terrible at anything. And that's just kind of who he is, and that's who he's been, and that's why the Vikings have kind of struggled to get over the hump, really. Well, not just in Kirk Cousins, you know, instance, they've struggled to get over the hump since their existence. But, you know, since he's been there, it's been tough for them to win playoff games and kind of, you know, make things happen when they matter. So what I think will be interesting just going into this game, because we don't have, you know, we don't have any tape for regular season tape on either of these teams to look at. And that's always a unique perspective on week one. I think it's interesting just to kind of look through the roster and the depth charts of both of these teams and just kind of compare, like, hey, where are the Vikings stronger than the Packers and vice versa? And so that's what I want to do today. And we can gloss right over the quarterback position unless you have anything to add to it. I mean, if you had to pick Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, you'd have to be an absolute psychopath to pick Kirk Cousins. So I think the Packers definitely have the advantage there at the quarterback position. But where it gets interesting, and this, I know, has been brought up multiple times, because I think when you look at just positional talent, this is probably the closest one, and that is the running back position. Obviously, the Packers top two with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. Then you look at the Vikings with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. You know, you try to get rid of any type of bias that you might have, Ross. And truthfully, what if you had to go with a group of two guys, who would you take?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take the Packers group. It's not you know, like a wide gap for me necessarily, but I just think Dylan is, to me, well, like, he's Pro Football Focus's number one overall back from a season ago. I'm not saying he's the best back in the league, but, like, to me, Dylan and Jones are both, like, top 10 to 12 backs in the league, both of them. And Madison just doesn't, like, pass that muster. Gun to my head, would I rather have Dalvin Cook or Andrew Jones? Probably rather have Dalvin Cook. But I think as a group, especially once you start talking about, you know, Kylan Hill, Patrick Taylor, Tyler Goodson, like, I just like the Packers guys better.
And that's, I think if you ranked those four guys, one through four, for me, it would be Dalvin Cook would be one. But then not that big of a gap would be Jones and Dylan behind him. And then I think there's a, you know, Madison's a good player. Like, he is a nice football player. I'm not trying to knock him at all, but I just think there's a pretty large gap between Dylan and Jones and then Madison. And that's why I think you go with the Packers in this specific instance where you're talking about just the running back position. The other, you know, offensive skill position, let's just group it all together with wide receivers and tight ends. And I think it's probably pretty heavily favored Minnesota, just because Justin Jefferson is probably one of the best five receivers in the National Football League right now. But Ross, what say you? How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. Yep. No, I don't think I don't think there's much to say about that. I mean, I'm with you 100%. I don't.
Well, there literally isn't much to say, because the Packers, we have no idea, right? We have no idea what this is going to look like for them. And you have guys like Lazard that you like, but you know, you can't put him in the same category as Justin Jefferson. That would be ridiculous, right? Well, even Thielen, you know, Thielen would probably be wide receiver one on this Packers football team right now.
Right. And so if you're super or wanting, like, kind of a homer take, I guess I'll give you the homer take. I think there's a chance that, like, receivers 2 through 4 could be on the Packers by the end of the season. You know, because I don't actually love KJ Osborne in the way that a lot of people do. In my opinion, you know, I think there's a chance that Thielen gets or like hits that wall this year. Potentially, we've seen it, you know, with guys that get to be around his age, like, it can happen. So you want a homer take? There isn't a chance on God's green earth that a player on Green Bay supersedes Justin Jefferson after this season or during this season. But you could hope that, you know, Lazard, Dubs, and Watson by the end of the year are all playing better than Thielen. It could happen. I'm not saying it's likely, but it's on the table.
Yeah, sure. And that would probably mean things have gone well in Green Bay, though, as well. You know, like, that's probably what you'd be hoping for as a Packers fan, that someone steps up and can be a dude. I think the tight end position is probably a wash, if not skewed to the Packers. It just depending on what your feelings on Irv Smith Jr. are. I think him and Big Bob are probably cancel each other out. And then after that, you probably like the depth in Green Bay a little bit. But I don't think either of those groups are groups that you're going to want to hang your hat on. And that's something I just got done talking to Dorf about this on his Game on Wisconsin mega show. And they were talking about the tight end position. And if there is a blind spot in Green Bay for Goody, and even going back to late Ted Thompson years, it's the tight end position. It's gotta be, right? They, like, in the off season, they talked about how they really like Tyler Davis. Why did we believe that was good? You know, like, who have they really ever scouted at the tight end position that they've hit on recently? And so for them to kind of be like, oh, we really like Tyler Davis, we're all like, oh, cool. I mean, Bob. Big Bob, sure. But, like, Big Bob was a quarterback at Indiana State who just stuck around at tight end and eventually developed. Like, I don't want to say they lucked into developing him, because I don't think luck has anything to do with it, but I mean, that's a shot in the dark, man. Like, they've invested very heavily in the tight end position. I think that's to say something too. Like, the Sternberger, top 100 pick, DeGuara, top 100 pick, Bennett, you know, big time free agency signing, Jimmy Graham, big time free agency signing. And then the guy that develops is a undrafted free agent quarterback from Indiana State, supersedes all those guys. You know, so I think that kind of goes to show, like, you know, maybe they just have been unlucky at the position. But that's kind of me getting off track anyways, because I don't think either of these offenses have a tight end to really hang their hat on. And if Big Bob is the guy in any offense, I think that offense probably has problems.
Well, right. It's not like Mike Backer, you know, where you talk about blind spot. It's just like a place that they refuse to draft. They did not refuse to draft. They tried their asses off, actually.
Yep. Yeah, they have. And we have not reaped the benefits of that at all yet. It, you know, depending, maybe, you know what, maybe DeGuara has a good season, but, and I said this on the show too, I didn't like DeGuara when he came out. Like, I just didn't see it. I thought he was an undersized tight end. I didn't really get where anyone was going to use him. When the Packers took him, it was kind of like, okay, like, sure, they're going to play him at fullback tight end, kind of that H-back. Like, okay, I'll get on board with that. I'll let it, you know, I'll root for that to happen. It really hasn't yet. It's not to say it couldn't, but even Josiah DeGuara playing at his peak, what does that look like? You know, like, is that a guy that you're gonna say, hey, we want to feed this guy in our offense? Like, I just don't think that's it. But in any case, the fullback position, Ross, CJ Ham versus nobody. CJ Ham's kind of a fun player for the Vikings. So I'm just looking at their depth chart. Moving to offensive line. I mean, it's with a healthy Bakhtiari and Jenkins, it's a no brainer. But without him, without either. What?
You're making this more complicated than it is.
How so?
Because they start at least two guys that flat out stink.
Who, the Vikings? Bradbury and Ingram?
Whatever guard isn't Cleveland.
Ed Ingram? He's a rookie. We don't know if he stinks.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Stinks? man, I was going to look this up today. I'm pretty sure like 10% of Garrett Bradbury's... Probably. Bradbury has been a huge disappointment. I wouldn't call him a huge bust because he hasn't been... He's been pretty awful. I was going to say, I think like 10% of his
actively
pressures
bad.
Allowed... are against the Packers. Like, Kenny Clark is his father. And which is weird because I think Bradbury is actually older than Kenny. But
I mean, let me tell you something. It's not the case. As somebody who's around Vikings fans more than I'd like to be, he's always bad and they're always angry about it.
Oh, really? They don't like him, huh?
No.
Well, he does stink, so that's fine. So you're going to go. So that's an interesting take to me. So you think even without, let's say Bakhtiari and Jenkins don't play, you still are saying Packers, take them.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the case, but you still, in my opinion, don't have people on, even without those two guys, nobody that will start for Green Bay is actively bad unless you're talking about Royce. And Royce is quite a bit better at what he does than Bradbury.
Yeah. I like, you know, I do like what the Vikings have done at their tackle positions the last couple of years in bringing in Brian O'Neill. And I think Christian Darrisaw actually had a pretty good rookie year. But yeah, that interior offensive line, that is where I think, you know, if this game gets out of hand, Ross, it's because the Packers front seven is as advertised and they're just giving that offensive line the business, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility in this game. I think you look at where the biggest mismatch, you know, team versus team is, and it is absolutely the Packers front seven versus the Vikings offensive line. And I do think they're going to wreak some havoc in this game. But moving to the defensive side of the ball, where the Vikings have, you know, the last few years, well, really not really last few years, but historically in the last decade, I suppose you could say, have been better than the Packers on defense. I don't think that is, that's not being wild. Like, they have actually been pretty good under Mike Zimmer. And it'll, this is where I think it will get interesting with this team, because you don't have Zimmer there. Like, we saw what he was able to do for certain players. And I know someone that Packers fans have been kind of bringing up is Anthony Harris, who was good for the Vikings, right? Was good under Mike Zimmer. But now that he's gone, and even when he was there, like when he went to Philadelphia, he was actively bad. And when I saw his name come up on my Twitter timeline, I asked some Philadelphia fans, like, is he good? Is he any good anymore? And they're like, no, terrible. So without Zimmer, I wonder what the safety play is going to look like. I think Harrison Smith is absolutely scheme proof. I love watching Harrison Smith play football, as much as that pains me to say. But let's go through this as well. We already talked about the Packers front seven.
He's staring washed in the face too, though.
He is. No, he is. He's definitely lost a step, but I still think he's a good player. He's not an all pro anymore, but he still scares me. He's still a guy that I think is savvy enough to make a play in a big moment. And maybe that's just past experience. Maybe that's just him. Maybe that's, you know, the Brett Hundley experience against the Vikings when Harrison Smith absolutely wrecked his career, Brett Hundley. But let's look at their front set, their front four. They looks like, are they going to run a 4-3 this year? It looks like that's what it looked. No, they're not.
I had heard allegedly that Minnesota was going to run a 3-4 for the first
time. They are. That's what I was reading it wrong. So they have, at 5-tech, they have Dalvin Tomlinson, who's, if you like to stop in the run, sure. And then Jonathan Bullard. Okay. And then I actually like Harrison Phillips. I think Harrison Phillips is a nice player, but like a Dean Lowry type player. Dude, is he getting up there in age?
Dean gets way closer to the quarterback than a Harrison Phillips.
Harrison Phillips is only 26.
We're not talking about the same thing.
But yes, like to your point, he has 1.5 sacks in his career. So. And I'm looking up his, what are his, this is so great. This is great listening right now.
Okay, Harrison Phillips, who, by the way, I do like as a player.
Same.
He has,
oh boy,
43 career pressures in 1,200 snaps. Not great, and Bob.
For reference, I believe Dean had more than that last year.
Not great, Bob.
Let's looky here. Dean Lowry, how many pressures did you have last season? Total pressures last year, 42.
So, yeah. There you go.
So I retract my Harrison Phillips as a Dean Lowry type player. I apologize, Dean. He cannot hold your water. So I think, yeah. So, I mean, if today's NFL Ross is getting after the quarterback, I don't think there's any question that the Packers are better up front than the Vikings are. Linebacker is interesting because they do run it. They're on that 3-4 now.
Tough break. Having to play Minnesota before Zadarius and or Daniil get hurt.
That's true. We'll probably get their best. Zadarius, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about Z.
He might be
tough. He might still be awesome. I really don't know. The thing about Z that is interesting to me is he's not a perfect player. The 49ers figured that out and they ran right at him, and CJ and Mostert is still running. So I wonder how the Packers are going to attack him. Right? Like, are they just going to run at him? Are they just going to let Elton go after him and just do the thing and let him have his one sack in the fourth quarter? I don't know. But I think you look at, so the Packers are running out at edge, Rashawn and Preston Smith. The Vikings are Daniil Hunter and Zadarius Smith. And if everybody stays healthy, all things considered, I think that's closer than what people probably would think. because Danielle Hunter, when healthy, is a very good football player. Za'Darius Smith, when healthy, can get after the quarterback. And this is going to sound sacrilegious here, Ross, but the Packers, where I think where they separate themselves is that inside linebacker. And that's with Eric Kendricks, who I think the world of.
To me, on the defensive line, actually, I just think from actually getting up the field standpoint, like Clark, Wyatt, Reed, Lowry, and Slayton is just going to create so much more of a push than, I mean, I honestly think Minnesota's basically like throwing three nose tackles out there. Like it's wild to me what they're trying to do with this personnel.
Yeah, they don't have, you know, none of those three guys are someone that you're going to look at and say like, oh man, he might cause problems. Like, I don't know how they're going to get after the quarterback. You know, it's going to be on Z and Danielle Hunter. Yeah.
Or they're going to have to blitz.
Right. And that's where, you know, Eric Kendricks is a really good football player. Like he can wreck a game. But Jordan Hicks is not. That's their other starting inside linebacker. That's someone that, you know, if you watch the Packers last year when they played with two linebacker sets and one was Chris Barnes, really didn't matter how good Devondre was. You just target 51 and do that all day. Like that's what I think you do against the Vikings as well. Their secondary is kind of a mess. You know, man, really nothing scares you here. Cam Dantzler, I think, is a nice young player. Patrick Peterson is not who he was. Harrison Smith, someone, you know, we already talked about him, not who he was. And then Cameron Bynum, which surprisingly to me, I love Lewis Seen in the draft. And as of right now, he's second on their depth chart. Like Bynum kept him at bay. So I don't know what's going on with that. I think Lewis Seen is the only guy in that group that scares me just because I know what he was at Georgia. But when you compare them to what the Packers have, Ross, there's just really no comparison. And that's not even to disparage the Vikings. I think that's going to be the case for most teams playing the Packers this year. When you just look at what the Packers have in their secondary versus pretty much every other team in the NFL, and the Packers just, I mean, their starting five essentially is just really, really good. And I don't think the Vikings are going to be able to compare with that. But when you look at matchups though, Ross, and you know, who, and this man, who on the Packers team is going to get open against Patrick Peterson and Cameron Dantzler?
Everyone.
You think so?
I think they both stink.
Okay. What about Andrew Booth Jr.?
He's nice. I can get open on Andrew Booth Jr. I stink.
So you think even without, and that's the thing, we can touch on this too, talk about the injuries. It looks like Bakhtiari will be back. He said he thinks he's on track to be there week one. But now there's some talk that Lazard and Watson still aren't going to be ready for week one.
That's fine. So, let's see them cook Patrick Peterson into pieces.
Who? Sammy?
C-Dub.
No, I'm talking about C-Dub might not be ready for week one.
Says who?
There was some chatter. There was some scuttlebutt on the interwebs today that he is still he's still dealing with the knee.
Okay.
I don't know. But then there definitely was facts that Alan Lazard is in a walking boot right now. So that's not good.
Yeah, that seems not great, Bob.
But that's all right. Let the young Hall of Famer go out there and do the thing in Romeo Dubs, and they'll be just fine. I hope.
I still don't love not having Lazard. That's not great.
No, not having Lazard would be bad. That would be bad. He's kind of, even though, you know, say what you want about him, I think he's going to be the steadying force of this wide receiver room this year, and might even be a breakout candidate. I don't know. Would you be shocked if Alan Lazard finishes the season with like 80 catches, 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns?
No.
I don't think I would either. No. I think that seems like, especially with a 17-game season, yeah, being the guy with Aaron Rodgers, I almost feel like he should just have that. But But we'll see. And that's, you know, that's the fun. The week one, the excitement is always fun. But I always enjoy previewing games after we get some stuff on tape and after we start to see kind of how these teams identify themselves and what their identity is and all that stuff. So we'll have all that stuff coming for you guys. But that's all we got for today. I mean, it's game week, baby. This is it. You know, this time next week, we're going to be talking about a Packers team with a record. Yeah, 1-0, 0-1, whatever it might be. So just important to keep in mind that it is a long season. I don't think anything is going to be as bad as what they walked out and did last year, Ross, against the Saints, when the literal sky was falling for a week in Green Bay, and then they just ripped off 13 wins in a season. Oh, man. So we'll see. And that's the other thing, man. Like, you talk about going to Minnesota to play. The Packers are very aware of how bad they looked in week one of last year, and they do not want a repeat performance of that, I am certain. So I would guess that things are getting ramped up in Green Bay, and they're going to be ready to play. At least I hope so. But we'll talk about it next week, and we'll talk about whoever the heck they're going to play in week two, and we'll go over all that stuff. And until then, thank you for listening, and go Pack, go.